Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date's April 9th, 2020. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to turn the world to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or a message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4.
Hello?
In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And we can hear on the side there in the background. We'll get there in a minute. Now, you can always find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, Auto Ministry Hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we're a national satellite radio program. We're simulcast live on the net internationally. Live on YouTube, sign some FM, so pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base in places like Perth, Australia, Bucharest, Romania, Copenhagen, Denmark, and of course the United States, such as Tucson, Arizona, Henderson, Nevada, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yes, Wichita, you are the largest group of listeners to our programs when they podcast later tonight. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Kaplan at Brant77. Now, prayer will bring on tonight's one of your favorite guests. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray this radio program goes according to your will, not our will, Father, and give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Well, folks, in Kansas, our governor, a Democrat, said no meetings of people that are over 10 in number. That's kind of the same across the country. But she went on to say now that this includes churches. Well, the Attorney General of Kansas, a Republican, says churches should, if they choose, just ignore what she says and told law enforcement peoples not to enforce her order. Now she's suing the Attorney General. But here's the question. So churches, should they abide by this or not? We have heard, as of, like in Florida, a pastor was arrested for having a large gathering. We've also heard, though, of a pastor dying after joking about the virus and members of another congregation, well, several different ones, of having people come down sick because they were exposed to the virus during services. What should we do? Well, let's ask a pastor about this tonight. And you know who I'm asking? We're going to ask Pastor Carl Gallups. He's a best-selling author, senior pastor since 1987. Talk radio host. He's heard nationally and internationally. He's on TV. He's a radio guest commentator. He's former decorated Florida law enforcement officer. He's the founder of P.P. Simmons News Ministry and Network. He's also the member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl's written 10 books, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, The Rabbi, The Secret Message and the Identity of Messiah, Gods of the Final Kingdom, and his newest book, and I hope you've got it. If you haven't, you should. It's called Masquerade. Are you there with me, Pastor Carl? Hello? Did we lose Carl Gallups? Well, we had him a minute ago, but I think we lost him, apparently. Well, I'm sure they'll try and get him back on. I don't know what's going on with this, but, you know, right here in Canada, and that is a debate. Should we go ahead and gather? No, are you there with me, Carl?
I am. Sorry for all the confusion, but I'm here, yes.
Yeah, we had all kinds of confusion. I don't know what was going on. I'll have to talk with the station about it afterwards, but I'm glad to have you on. And it's part of my lead-in, and this is a question that I'm asking you. I told the folks I was going to ask you. Here in Kansas, our governor said no meetings of over 10 people. Well, at first, she straight out exempted the church from that, but then she later on came and says this applies to church meetings. Well, the attorney general in our state came forward and said we should ignore what she says and told the police officers. They said that, well, you should ignore what she says. So, but then in the same light, too, Carl, I've seen a pastor arrested in Florida for violating the meetings law, but then I've also seen several places in the country, one where a pastor died, and another couple where congregations got sick from this. What do you think? You're a pastor, and yeah, we need to talk a little bit about it.
Well, listen, I could talk about this for hours. I've been doing interviews. I've been doing Facebook Live. Yes, I pastor a church. My church is open. Everything is fine with us, but we're taking measures. I talk about that. I know all about the pastor in Florida. I know about the laws and rules around the nation, and I also have some of the very, very latest from health experts that are now coming forward, even this Dr. Bricks and Dr. Fauci, who have been so, you know, fear-mongerish, telling us that 250,000 people were going to die, and now today, I think it was today or yesterday. I've got the articles. I'll fish for them here in a minute, maybe at the break or something, and I can read from them. But just paraphrasing, and I've already done a Facebook Live on this today, and there's several thousand views on it already. It's going everywhere, and I took the people to the websites. I read the information, and the bottom line is Fauci and Bricks, these two doctors, they both have said that their projections of up to a quarter of a million people dead from this are now way, way, way down. They also said we're going to reach a peak by April the 11th, which is just 2 days away. Now, but that's the peak. In other words, people are still going to die, but then it's going to start tapering off. Instead of like they had originally said, the peak wouldn't hit until maybe August. Now they're saying it's going to hit 2 days from now. So they're scaling everything back. On top of this, I revealed to my audiences, other people were revealing it before me, but I revealed to my audiences that the CDC a couple of weeks ago, and I've got this, I can read to your audience from some of these things that I'm claiming right now. I will read some of these right off the internet to your audience. But the CDC issued a statement to all the hospitals, and I'm going to paraphrase what they said. I have reported on this. I've posted it. It's all over Facebook. People have read it. They've gone crazy over it because it's right there in black and white. It's on the CDC website, government website, okay? It's not some back channel conspiracy site that made it up and put words in the mouth of the CDC. You can go read it for yourself. And the paraphrased edition is they sent out a memo several weeks ago to all the hospitals in the United States, and basically this is what they said. If somebody dies under your and if it is a COVID-19 death, in other words, that's all they had and they died from it, then you must enter COVID-19. They said, however, if they had other underlying conditions that even deadly and they had COVID-19, you must enter it as a COVID-19 death. Then they said, and if you tested for COVID-19 and the tests are inconclusive or not certain yet, you still must enter it as a COVID-19 death. Now, in other words, they're cooking the books. Brother Dan, now listen, I'm not disparaging death. Death is happening. Death happens every day. We've had 60,000 people die from the flu this year, including hundreds and hundreds of children all over the United States. Nobody's making an issue of that. Heart attacks, the number one killer in our nation, way beyond the flu rates and everything else. Cancer, the number two killer, diabetes. Of course, people that have these things and they get COVID, then the CDC said, if they die, you have to list it as a COVID death. Well, wait, if they already are 80 years old and have had two open heart surgeries, and now they're dealing with cancer on top of it, and then they get COVID, you're going to list it that they died by COVID? Really? When they were going to die anyway within a month or two or a year or two from the heart disease and the cancer? And so you see, so then there's another report that I'll read to your people. I'll try to get the websites out, the addresses, where now they're understanding that as the COVID rates are going up, people have been checking the heart attack rates in the United States have fallen off drastically. Now, wait a minute. Heart disease is the number one killer in America. And that's going down and down and down and down while COVID is going up and up and up and up. Well, why do you think that is? Because people are dying of heart attacks and the CDC and the government are demanding that it be reported as COVID deaths. So brother, listen, people are dying from COVID. The biggest demographic are elderly people with morbidity problems. In other words, elderly people with diabetes, elderly people with HIV, elderly people with other immune deficiency syndromes, elderly people with severe heart problems, cancer. They're undergoing chemotherapy, all of these things. And some people are not so elderly. Some people are 40, 50 years old, and they're not elderly, but they're dealing with cancer. They're dealing with heart problems. They're dealing with diabetes. And then they get COVID, or they're tested for COVID, and it appears they might have COVID, but then they die. Well, they're listed as a COVID death because the CDC is requiring. Now, where did the CDC get this requirement from? They say it on their website. They got it from the World Health Organization.
Oh, man.
This is the same group that is a globalist health group that mishandled the information from the get-go. We already know this. In fact, Trump and his people are livid with these people because they mishandled the China information. It almost appears as though WHO was covering up for China. Now, that's just what people are saying. I'm not making that accusation. But,
right.
But brother, this is a stinking mess. Now, further, let me tell you what I think. I'm going to read a portion of an interview. This just came out April the 1st and the 2nd was the interview. So that was just less than a week ago.
Carl, wait a minute. We got started late in the program because of whatever. We're almost up to break in less than a minute. Tell them where they can find your reports, and we'll come back, and I want you to really inform the people because, amen.
Okay. Well, the best stuff is yet to come. You want me to tell them where to find my stuff?
Yeah, that's what I want.
First of all, my website is carlgallops.com. And once you're there, if you'll go down on the right-hand side, you'll see all the links to my social media, PNN and CGM. PNN stands for the PNN News and Ministry Network, which I started. And then CGM is Carl Gallops Ministries. Both of them have links to Facebook. But if you'll go to my Facebook page, and it's easy to remember. It's facebook.com/Carl Gallops, and then put the number 2, Carl Gallops 2. Facebook.com/, and then they'll see all my Facebook lives and YouTube lives and all that. But go to my website, carlgallops.com, if you have any questions.
Okay, folks. I'll get that Facebook link and put it in with the podcast later, and we'll be back in about 4 minutes, and we'll hear from Carl. Well, we're supposed to be going out for a break. I don't know what's going on with the music.
the joys of live radio, brother.
Boy, you ain't kidding, Carl. Well, I don't know what happened in the first place. I'm just going by my clock.
Yeah.
all this is controlled over in Eagle Point. I guess we could just continue to talk. I don't know.
I'm fine with that. Do you think we're still live?
I know we're still live. I can that much I can tell. Okay. Yeah, and they're saying talk. Okay, well, folks, we're going to keep on talking. Maybe we're going to talk right on through break. Maybe they did something, and I have no idea. But there's no break. I just found out there's no break. Well, Carl, welcome back. We're back.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Now I can continue, and that's good because I'm pumped, brother. I'm pumped because,
all right, let's go.
Because listen, for months I've been telling on my radio show. Now, please, I want your audience to hear me. I'm sure I'm not the only one that has been saying this. I'm not claiming that. I'm not saying I was the first person to say it. I am saying that without reading or hearing anybody else say it, a couple of months ago, I said something that, oh, I caught grief from, except I've got a bunch of medical people in my church, doctors, surgeons. I didn't catch any grief from them. I think it's because they knew that what I was saying was the truth, but they didn't want to be politically incorrect. And I'm not being disparaging. I mean, I've got great people. A church, but I'm probably they were under orders from their superiors. But what I said on my radio show and what I have said in various interviews is this: COVID-19 is a virus. It is an upper respiratory virus. Therefore, it is similar to the common cold, except on steroids. But in fact, the common cold comes from the coronavirus family. It is similar to the flu. It is not the flu virus, but it is very similar in what it does to you and in the symptoms. It seems that COVID-19 might be a little more powerful than the flu. But now with all the cooking of the books of the death rate, we don't really know because nobody's being honest about this. Now, the left have been more than glad to lock down our churches and to lock down our states and our homes and our families and our jobs, making us think that we're all going to die from this. But now the people that have been running it have come out in the last couple of days, as I said, Dr. Bricks and Dr. Fauci, and saying, well, we were way off. It's not going to be nearly as bad as we said. All right, which is what Donald Trump said in the beginning, and the media crucified him for it. He said it was going to be like a bad flu season, another flu season, and sure enough, it looks like we're going to run into 30, 40, 50, 60,000 extra deaths from this. We've already had 60,000 flu deaths. Now, to put that statistically perspective, we have 350 million people that live in the United States. So if you take all the flu deaths and let's say the COVID deaths go to 100,000, and I don't think they will. I don't think they're going to come anywhere near that. But let's say they did. The flu deaths are 60,000. If COVID went to 100,000, that's 160,000 people. That's terrible for them, for their families. I'm not disparaging death. But we've got 350 million people that live here. And we have babies being born every day. And so 160,000 people is a speck. It's like two football stadiums full of people. In the whole United States, it's 280,000 football stadiums. Now, that's a lot of people, and that's a horrible tragedy. But on a national scale, over an entire flu season, it's a drop in the bucket statistically. But you see, that's not what they were telling us earlier on. They were telling us this could kill everybody. You know, well, they didn't say that, but you know. Okay, now, so I've got before me this interview. It's called Perspectives on the Pandemic, a conversation with Dr. Newt Witkowski. I'm going to tell you who he is in a moment. You can see the video of this interview. You can hear the podcast of the interview. It was done by the Press and Public Project, interviewed by John Kirby, Libby Handros, Lee Davis. It was done in New York City. Here is who Dr. Witkowski is. I'm going to read his credentials. Then I'm going to read to you and your audience five or six paragraphs from this whole interview. This comes from from the transcripts of the interview, so I can read it word for word, and this is going to floor you. This is going to floor you, Brother Dan. But here's this guy's credentials. Dr. Witkowski received his PhD in computer science from the University of Stuttgart, Germany, and in medical biometry from another university. I can't pronounce it. It's a long German name, both in Germany as well. Dr. Witkowski worked for 15 years with Klaus Dietz, the world's leading epidemiologist, who coined the term reproductive number on the epidemiology of HIV before heading 20 years the Department of Biostatistics, Epidemiology, and Research Design at the Rockefeller University, New York. Dr. Witkowski is currently the CEO of a huge company, discovering novel treatments for complex diseases. This is what this guy lives. He's a brainiac. He is a world-renowned expert. All right, now I want you to hear what he says. Now, before we get to it, what I've been telling my audience, and this is where I left off, for several months is, look, COVID-19 is a virus. It's a heavy-duty virus. We don't have a vaccine for it. We don't have a cure for it. We do have some medicines that seem to be working and holding back, maybe even curing it, but they're still working on it. All right, so it is something to take very seriously, okay? So I'm not sloughing this off as something that's not serious. But it's been blown out of proportion, and it's been mishandled because I said months ago, I said, folks, you do not kill a virus in a society of people by taking everybody and cramming them into their homes and running from the virus. If you do that, the virus will not die as soon, and it can spread even quicker because no one has done a total lockdown. In other words, well, okay, you can go to work if you're essential. Well, who's essential? Well, medical people and grocery store people, et cetera, et cetera. Well, who gets to go to the hospitals? Well, sick people. Well, who gets to go to the grocery stores? Well, anybody. So people that work in grocery stores and people that work in hospitals and people that work at Walmart and people that work at Lowe's and all of these other essential places, then what happens is the virus is still passed around among those people because that's what virus do. They look for living organisms to feed off of. And then these people that work in these places, where do they go? They go home where their families are quarantined. And then they get the viruses, but the general public is not being exposed to it like we should be. It's called herd immunity in the medical field. Herd is usually you speak of animals. But here's the deal. I told people, I said, look, it's like the flu. Why don't we go and hide from the flu every year? It kills anywhere from 20 to 80,000 Americans every year. Brother, we haven't even come close to that with the COVID virus yet. It may reach that, but right now we haven't even come close, and we're 2 days away from the peak. And the flu kills between 20 and 80,000. In 2017, it killed over 80,000 people, Brother Dan. Did we shut anything down? No. Did the stock market close? No. Did we close all the businesses down? No. Did we stop the sports arenas? No. Did we close the churches? No. What did we do? We went on with life. Well, did we take any precautions? Well, yeah. Hospitals, if we had a flu outbreak in certain areas, some schools closed and some hospitals really tightened up. But we didn't shut the nation down. Why? Because here's how you kill the flu virus. You let people go about their daily work. Who you protect are those who are particularly vulnerable to that virus. The elderly, the sick, the suffering, okay? Nursing homes, hospitals put deep restrictions in a bad, bad flu year. Some school districts close down if they're in a particularly high infection rate area. Why? Because children are susceptible to the flu, and hundreds of children die every year from the flu. So we want to protect our children. We want to protect our elderly. What do we do with the 20, 30, 40, 50-year-olds of our society during flu season? Unless flying conditions, we tell them, go to church, go to school, go to work. Go to college, go out to eat, go to the movie theater, go to ball games. Why do we do that? Because we know that the quickest way to kill a virus, which has a lifespan, viruses don't live forever, they have a lifespan, but the quickest way is for the biggest chunk of our culture to get an immunity to it. That's why we developed a flu vaccine. Now, less than half of the people in the United States take it, And we wish more people would, I guess. Some people don't like vaccines, and I get that, but we're just speaking medically right now. Right. And let's say the vaccines were perfectly safe to take, and let's just pretend like that. Then that means if half the people took it, that half of the population, now the virus can't live in them. So they can only go to the other half. Well, in that other half, some of those are going to die, but the vast majority are not. They're going to get the flu at all, but if they get it, some people will get it and won't even know they have it. Oh, they might have, might feel a little sluggish for a day. Other people will get it. It'll be milder. They'll stay home for 3 or 4 or 5 days. Other people will get it. It'll be severe. They'll be in bed for a week and chills and fevers and nausea and diarrhea and everything that goes with it. And some people will die. Is that you Skyping me, or is that somebody keep Skyping while I'm talking to you?
That was just Frank in the conversation. Don't worry about it.
Okay. It's just beeping every time.
Okay, it's like this. We got an eavesdropper in here, and
yeah.
That's the producer, and so he just texts you, or he just texts me.
Okay. All right. It was just kind of disturbing me because every time I was making a statement, it was ringing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let me keep going here because this is important, and I want to get to what this doctor said. So I've been telling everybody, look. So what you do is you let your normal population go about their life, and you say, well, people will die. Well, of course they will. It's called life. Of course they will. And we hope they don't. We've got vaccines. We've got medicine like Tamiflu and others that'll help with symptoms. And, you know, we don't want anybody to die, but people are going to die every day. And so the only way to protect the nation as a whole from a virus is to quarantine the highly susceptible, the elderly, the children, or whoever's in the demographic. Everybody else, go about your life. And if you get it, then push through it. Take some Tamiflu, get some medicine, go to bed, drink plenty of fluids, eat chicken soup, bundle up under the covers, take Tylenol. Why? Because your body is building up an immunity and it's fighting the flu, and after 7 to 10 days, you get out of bed and you're saying, wow, I'm sorry, it just keeps ringing and ringing. And you get out of
bed. Oh, it's ringing you actually, calling me?
Yeah, no, it's every time a message pops up, it beeps and rings. But anyway, bro, let me get my head here. So what happens then is that the people go, you know, they some of them get the flu, some of them don't know it, some of them have it mild, and even the ones that have it severe, their body builds immunity. Now, so what happens? That means there's less and less and less and less people that the virus can live in. So what happens when the virus has a hard time finding a home? It dies. And what happens when the virus has finally outlived its whole lifespan, which is a matter of, a couple of months, this doctor says. Well, it dies. But what happens if an entire population runs and hides? Then the virus thrives on the people that do come out, the people that are at Walmart and the hospitals, and it gets serious and it thrives and people die, and then we don't build up an immunity. And then after the virus dies, next year the virus comes back with a vengeance and we are susceptible again because nobody has an immunity to it. Now, that's what I've been saying, and I've been called a liar, and, you know, you're a fake, you know, you're trying to pretend like you're a doctor or a scientist. Brother, this is not rocket science. All you have to do is just read a little bit of science about viruses. So, having said all that, Dr. Newt Witkowski, this world-renowned doctor of epidemiology and diseases and research design at Rockefeller University, New York, et cetera, listen to this interview. I'm going to read 5 or 6 paragraphs. The interviewer says, if you could just tell us your name and a little bit about your background. All right, he does that, and I've already done that. All right, here's another one. You gave recommendations recently on how best to deal with COVID-19. Could you please describe to us what you wrote? Here's what he says. Now, remember what I just said. Now, listen to this doctor this is his whole life, and he is one of the world's leading experts on this issue. He says, as with every respiratory disease, We should protect the elderly and the fragile because when they get pneumonia, for example, they have a high risk of dying from the pneumonia. So that's one of the key issues which you keep in mind. On the other hand, children do very well with these diseases, these viruses. They're designed to be exposed to all sorts of viruses during their lifetime. And so they should keep going to school and they should keep infecting each other. Then that contributes to herd immunity, which means after about 4 weeks at the most, the elderly people could actually start enjoying their family again because then the virus would have been extinguished. Now, the interviewer says, you mentioned in this piece that you wrote that, in fact, you think that containment, quarantining, would actually prolong the duration of the virus. Can you talk about that, Dr. Witkowski? As with all respiratory diseases, the only thing that stops the disease is herd immunity. About 80% of the people need to have had contact with the virus, and the majority of them won't even have recognized that they were infected, or they had very, very mild symptoms, especially if they are children. So it's very important to keep the schools open and the kids mingling to spread the virus to get herd immunity as fast as possible. And then the elderly people who should be separated and the nursing home should be closed during that time, they can come back and they can meet with their children and their grandchildren after about 4 weeks when the virus has been exterminated. And he said that earlier. Now watch this. So the interviewer says, and so what do you make of the policy that has been enacted by the United States and England and most other nations throughout the world, this policy of containment, shelter in place? What's your opinion of that, Dr. Witkowski? Well, what people are trying to do is so-called flatten the curve. I really don't know why, but what happens is if you flatten the curve, you are prolonging the time it takes for the virus to go away. He says, I see no good reason for a respiratory disease to stay in the population longer than necessary. The interviewer. Well, what do you say to people who just say, we didn't know enough about the lethality, you know, the lethalness, that's not a word, the lethality of this virus, and that it was the smartest thing to do, to lock everybody down, to contain everybody. Because we just didn't have the necessary information. What do you tell people? Dr. Witkowski, he says, oh, my goodness. He said, we've had two other SARS viruses before, or coronaviruses. That's what it is. It's not the first coronavirus that's ever come out, and it won't be the last. And for all respiratory diseases, we have the same type of an epidemic. If you leave it alone, it comes for 2 or 3 weeks, then it peaks. And then it goes for a couple of more weeks, and then it's gone. The interviewer. So you were speaking to my producer the other day on the phone, and you said, the pandemic is now over. What do you mean by that? Dr. Witkowski. Well, there are no more new cases in China and in South Korea. The number of new cases in Europe is already beginning to decline. This was written just about 4 days ago, brother. Okay. And then he goes on to say, the virus came later to the United States, so here in the U.S. we see a bit of an incline, maybe, and leveling off within the next couple of days. And that's exactly what Dr. Fauci said today. Then he goes on to say, and if we see that the cases are not increasing dramatically, that means that the number of new infections has already declined substantially, and it peaked about a week ago. Another interviewer says, well, do you believe the Chinese statistics? Do you think they've been lying to us? Do you believe the stats that have come out of China? He says, the epidemic has ended there, too. Yes, it has ended, because otherwise we would see people emerging, even in China. It's today very difficult to keep that kind of information under the hood. If there were lots of cases in hospitals, if the hospitals that they built, the temporary hospitals, if they were still full to overflowing, we would hear that. That information could not be suppressed. And then it goes on to say, during the press briefing yesterday, Dr. Fauci and the president and the rest of the people assembled were saying that they had not done the containment strategy, that upwards of 2 million people would have died in the United States. What do you think about that figure? That was several days ago, but remember, this interview was several days seconds ago, too. Listen to what he said. He said, well, I'm not paid by the government, so I'm entitled to actually do real science. If the government, if there had been no intervention, the epidemic would have already been over, like every other respiratory disease epidemic. And then he said, in your estimation, how many would, what would it have been? He said, okay, we have right now. He said, let's take the realistic numbers in the United States. We have about 25,000 cases every day. That's probably the upper limit. He says, say it's 30,000. Who knows? He said, but let's talk about 25,000. 2% will actually have symptoms. That's 500 cases a day. Maybe a third or a fifth, let's say half of them, will need to be hospitalized. That's 250 patients a day. If they've been hospitalized for 10 days, that means we will have, our hospital system will have to deal with 2,500 patients every day for a certain period of time. That could be 3 to 4 weeks, and then the number will drastically decrease again, and the whole epidemic would be over. And then they said, and of those hospitalization cases, how many would die? He said, 2%. Of the hospitalized cases, he said, of all cases. And then he says, of all the symptomatic cases, 2% of the symptomatic cases will die. That is 2% of the 250,000 a day. So that is about 500 people a day, and that will happen over 4 weeks. So that could be as high as 10,000 total people. Now that compares to the normal number of flu during the flu season, and we have in the United States about 35,000 deaths a year to the flu. And actually it's between 20,000 and 80,000, so he's right, 35,000. All right, I'm going to stop there. Because, see, the current number is between, it's about 14,000, Pastor Dan. But here's what the doctor says about that, and it's what I've been screaming. He says, first of all, the reason it's that high is because the government did the wrong thing. It put everybody in their homes. It shut down everything. We should have let people keep going, except for the elderly and the sick and the immune compromised. But we didn't. So we prolonged it, and more people died. Secondly, he said, what I opened the show with was, we can't trust those numbers. The CDC is ordering hospitals to cook the books. And so while they're telling us that we've had 14,000 COVID deaths, heart attack rates have dropped off dramatically. And that's the number one killer in America. So we know these COVID numbers cannot be correct. So he said about 10,000. Well, the cooked up numbers have only showed 14,000. So, brother, this guy is dead on. And this is the kind of stuff I was saying a couple of months ago without even knowing of this guy. Again, it's not that I'm so smart, but it's like he said, this should be common sense. Every medical person knows how viruses live and die. And if you get the whole herd exposed to it, except for the weakest, then you will kill the virus quicker. If you make everybody run and hide, you will prolong the death rate and the length of the virus. Now, brother, I don't think, this is just my opinion, I don't think that we're that stupid in America. I think there has been an agenda. The churches were closed. Our nation was closed. Everybody was stricken with panic and fear over what? A respiratory virus that could have been dealt with in weeks if we had just let everybody go about their business, just like we do with the flu every single year. I'm finished, believe it or not.
No comment. Yes, I do have a couple of comments. Well, number one, I've seen I have never heard of this doctor. I've seen some of the things that you pointed out with this doctor, you know, what I'm saying about the herd thing and some of the other things and letting it go. I'll tell you where my real problem has been with this. It seemed that a lot of people that, you know, don't normally, you know, that, okay, let's go to that. Somebody that has a heart condition and they get this and they die. Okay, I get it. They was going to maybe die of a heart condition or maybe their asthma at some point. But this, you know, exasperated it, you know, made it worse, and they die. And,
sure,
and
the flu will do the same thing, yeah.
Right, and I'm not in disagreement with that. It's just the emphasis is they've been putting on it. So let's back up. If this is an agenda, which I don't believe in any way, shape, or form Trump would have been on it. Just who would have, who could have had the ability to pull this off?
Yeah. Well, listen, you got to remember, at the very beginning, Donald Trump came forward and was saying to all of us the very same things I've said tonight. And he got trashed by all of the worldwide media, all of the World Health Organization, the CDC, all of these politically correct, most of them are leftist, most of them are evolutionists, most of them are God haters and America haters, not all, but a bunch of them are. And like Rahm Emanuel said, never let a good crisis go to waste. And here was a potential crisis. Something erupted in China, whether it was done on purpose or accidentally or whether it was some deep, dark thing, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is that these dingers are still going off. I got to figure out a way to turn those dingers off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. But the bottom line is that I forgot what I was saying. I forgot what I was saying. I'm sorry. It's hard for me to concentrate.
That's my fault, Carl. Again, we had problems at the station, and I forgot that. See, normally it's set up where I can talk to the producer. By Skyping, and so I just Skyped him and told him I needed this recording.
Okay.
And so that's what that was. That was me calling Frank. Frank, we need the recording. Now he knows.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, okay. Well, I remember what I was saying. So I don't know, but I know Donald Trump was saying, folks, this is going to be like a bad flu season. Folks, don't panic. Folks, we're going to be working on this. We're trying to develop vaccines. We already think we found some medication that's going to help. You know, and he talked about that particular medication. I can't even pronounce it. I don't remember what it is.
I can't either.
Yeah. It's a malaria drug. And he was trashed for that. And now the world doctors came out about a week ago and said, well, that drug looks like it's working. And then all the fake media that had trashed Trump in their headlines, it looks like we found a cure. It looks like we might be on the verge of a breakthrough. And they said the name of it, the very thing they called Donald Trump an idiot and a liar for saying. Everything Donald Trump said in the beginning, look, this is bad. We need to take it serious. We need to quarantine our demographic that is susceptible to it, our elderly and sick people. This is going to be like a bad flu season. Don't panic. It's not going to be as terrible as some of the things you're hearing. And we think that we've got some medications. That's what he said. He was dead on correct. But he was trashed by the world, brother. And I think he felt the pressure. And I think when this is all over and done with, I think he's going to lower the boom. You know him. Once he's right about something and somebody's called him a liar, he will drive it in their heart with a stake. So,
absolutely. And I agree. If you anything out of the leftist media, you can't trust it at all. And it's just craziness. It's just craziness. And opened the door to all this money going out and wanting more and pushing more. It's just insane. Well, Carl, listen, because we only got about a minute here. I know we're going to have to get out of here at the end time. So what I'm going to do is I am going to email, the folks that I communicate with you with and see about setting up another interview soon, because there's some things in this book I want to talk about, Masquerade.
Okay.
Maybe a little aftermath of this, but I want to point out, folks, you should listen to him on Freedom Fridays. That's tomorrow. You're going to be talking then, right?
Yes. I'll be talking on Freedom Friday live. Yes.
All right. All right. Well, tell them where to find you, Carl, and we'll do this again soon. But and I'm sorry for the problems at the station. I don't know what's going on over there.
No, that's okay. Listen, I do live radio. I work with radio stations, multiple radio stations. I do interviews all the time. So I understand it completely. And I'm sorry about having to kind of stop and get my head together, but I've got my speaker turned up so I could hear you talking. And every time there was a communication, I was hearing all of the dings and the dongs and the ringing. And, brother, my wife tells me, she can multitask. I can't. I can do one thing at the time. So it's my fault. It's not y'all's. It's just me. I'm stupid. But anyway, listen, I'd be glad to come back. You just holler at me, Pastor Dan, and I'll be there. God bless you. Thanks for having me
on. All right. Bless. See you later, Carl. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, folks. That was Pastor Carl Gallups. But we got to get out of here. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. But remember, folks, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, Father, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, that his face, that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Till next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.